Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Great to have you with us on this final Monday of February 2020 for a shortened edition of the program All About Television. And believe it or not, we've got 61 degrees at the top of the hour, nice and sunny. Who would have thunk it on this final Monday of February? And it gets a little lower, gets a little rainy starting tomorrow, and colder by the end of the week. Delighted to have you with us. And if there's something you hear about the world of television you want to raise your voice about, please do. Do it with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we have a chat room that is in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we'll get to you. And while the program is on the air, you can get to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Speaker, and TuneIn stream. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. A lot to get to this half hour, and let's kick it off with some news notes. Television and film producer and entrepreneur Harvey Weinstein was found guilty on 2 counts of a sexual assault trial this morning. A jury here in New York declared Weinstein guilty of criminal sexual assault and rape in the third degree. He was found not guilty on 3 related counts. Weinstein is now in custody and faces sentencing on those verdicts March 11th. He also faces criminal charges in a separate case in Los Angeles. 4 charges are tied to that situation. An appeal on the New York trial is expected from Weinstein's lawyers. Nickelodeon and Time Magazine will launch an annual Kid of the Year Award event this December. Nickelodeon and CBS, both now part of the Viacom-CBS umbrella, will simulcast an hour-long special honoring 5 children for community accomplishment. Time and Time for Kids magazine will publish a feature story on the award. The 5 honorees will have the opportunity to cover Nick events next year as Time for Kids reporters. Trevor Noah will host the TV special and serve as a co-executive producer. Now some quick news before we move on. Hulu will give 2020 Best Picture Oscar winner Parasite exposure on its service starting April 8th. Atypical, the Peabody-nominated comedy about an autistic teenager, will get a 4th and final 10-episode season on Netflix next year. Oscar-winning and Emmy-nominated Fosse Vernon co-star Sam Rockwell, he played Bob Fosse, has a new first-book content deal with MGM UA Television. Rockwell cooperates Play Hooky Productions with producer Mark Berger. Blessed Smith co-star creator Lake Bell will develop new series with Disney Television Studios. Fox will be back for a 5th Disney Channel season. And one more breaking news item following Hulu, Love, Victor, the 2018 series take on feature film Love, Simon, will move from Disney to, at Disney Plus, I should say, to Hulu. Let me just say that again. That Love, Victor, the series take on the 2018 feature film Love, Simon, which was directed by TV entrepreneur Greg Berlanti, will move there, that's Hulu, from Disney Plus. 10 episodes are set to play on Hulu, and development on season 2 is underway. And that is news notes for today. Coming up for the rest of this half hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. We have an expanded Up segment, and we also have a tribute to one of the best TV composers around, who we learned today had passed away last week, Robert Cobert. We'll get to all of that, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're in the mood for something very unique in fiction, well, try this. Linda Holmes' book, E.B. Drake Starts Over. It's more than just a starting over tale, as you can hear, with a trial run to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much inspiration. There's now nearly 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on at the moment, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. All you have to do is just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get not one, not two, but 3 free audiobooks and an online trial. And you also get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself today how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you know can hear the world. By the way, Audible.com makes a great gift any time of the year. So check out audibletrial.com/televised today. Get your 3 free audiobooks, 1 month trial. And again, get into the world the audible.com way. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week in a row that we're offering this question. And if you are the winner, you get not one, but two book prizes. The 5-Second Rule by author and popular syndicated talk show host Mel Robbins. And from Tommy Davidson, the Living Color co-star who was on this program a week and a half ago, his new book by Kensington Books, Living in Color, What's Funny About Me. On last Monday's show, we kicked it off with an exclusive interview with the co-star of The Flash on the CW, Victoria Park. A lot of you, by the way, responded to that interview, and I'm happy to say in quite great fashion. Well, before The Flash was on the CW starting 6 years ago, it was on CBS in 1990-91. It was on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. And unfortunately, that year was on up against The Cosby Show on NBC and The Simpsons on Fox. So unfortunately, despite critical acclaim, it only lasted a year. Here's the question. Who played The Flash on CBS in 1990-91? Who played The Flash on CBS, that version, live action, from 1990 to 1991? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, enclose your full name and your full mailing address so that if you're the first correct answer and you win the prizes, we'll get them out to you as soon as possible. Once again, let's give you that question. Who played The Flash on CBS live action in 1990-91? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you've already won before, and we've had a lot of winners over the last two, 3 years or so, please let someone else win for the very first time. And if you missed the question, we will post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best to you. And now it's time for Up, as in Update, where we catch up on guests and topics we had on this program. And since today we don't have a guest, we're going to do a double dose of Up for you today, and they both deal with a topic and a guest that was on last Friday's two-hour episode, which we've heard a lot of great things about from all of you out there, and we thank you for tuning in on Friday. It was a marvelous show with terrific guests from start to finish. We led off the show with this news note that Amazon-owned IMBD TV, which started like 13 months ago as FreeDive and then became its current title 6 months later, is going to now be under the control of Amazon Studios. That's right, under the control of Amazon Studios. And we pointed out that in a memo that was released on Thursday night to staff at Amazon, Jennifer Salke, the former NBC Entertainment president, who now runs Amazon Studios, made it very clear this is going to be a new home for original programming. In fact, she invited all the showrunners, all the show creators that are currently involved with Amazon Studios in one way or another to get their caps going and create new shows, both scripted and unscripted, for IMBD. We don't know yet when those first shows will appear. But one thing is really clear, and it was something that both the entertainment press that covered this story and the press in general did not cover the story, failed to understand. This is Amazon's first attempt at advertiser-supported television. That's worth repeating again. This is Amazon's first effort to do advertiser-supported television. And in this day and age, original content is the name of the game. And you better believe that if Amazon is going to make it with IMDTV in the ad-supported world, with so many options for advertising on television these days, everything from broadcast networks, cable networks, multicast channels, smart TV distributed service on sets and devices, including Amazon Fire TV, which IMDTV is available on, you better have a lot of original content to publicize. And the memo from Jennifer Salke left no doubt this is a big all-in effort by Amazon to do original programming, ad-supported. So now, as a result, Amazon has two TV plays when it comes to content. Amazon Prime Video for subscription or non-ad support, and IMBD TV for ad support. And the bottom line to think about is that now Amazon, in this era of mega programming services, is going all in with not one, but two mega programming services. One currently on the books, and one they want to be on the books. Very keen to see whether IMDb TV, given that we're about to enter the period where broadcast networks, cable networks, etc., do public events here in New York, Los Angeles, and around the country to encourage advertisers and ad agencies to support their services, whether IMDb TV is going to be in the mix in this upfront event season, which starts in March, ends in mid-May. Don't be surprised if they are involved one way or another. Also on Friday, we introduced you to our first guest, choreographer and executive producer Phil Wright, whose new series, Disney Fam Jam, his first television project, premiered last night at the time of 8:25 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Actually, and I was a witness to this because I saw the show last night, it was 8:23 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. We told you, and Phil explained, that this is a competition, one of the first reality competition shows the Disney Channel has put on the air. It's all about two families who come together, learn dance routines by right, and then compete against each other for $10,000 and a trophy, with the studio audience determining the winner. And after watching the opening episode last night, it was very clear this show is going to be extraordinary for Disney Channel. This is a winner, a big winner. Phil Wright is one of the reasons why. He is an infectious talent. He's wonderful with the families. His choreography is terrific. He really takes his time to get to know the families and what they're up to and what they're up to cause. And the first episode last night was really outstanding. You had two families of color, one Asian American with parents and an African American family with a single parent. In the case of the Asian American family, which they call the Lees, the idea was to have their kids be more out there with people, be more outgoing with people, and using dance as that way to stand out in a crowd. And in the case of the other family, two things. One, and we didn't know about this on Friday, that one of the daughters of this family has a prosthetic leg. One leg, when she was born, was shorter than the other, so she got a prosthetic leg. And she is an outstanding dancer. When you see what she can do, it's amazing. She does flips. She does cartwheels. She can kick that leg up sky high. She's really sensational. And the other thing was that the single mother, who had not had as much dance training, but could do some moves, she wanted to also really be in lockstep with the rest of her family, her three daughters. What also we didn't know is that there's some nice things that are done in the show to help you get the routines, whether you're a parent or a child watching. One is the use of special computer-generated animation so that you see how the dance is constructed and how the participants learn. And by the way, each group, each family, has a signature move that later on you get at home the opportunity to see how it's done. And when these families perform, what's really exciting is they really perform. They've got backup dancers. They have a screen in the background with wonderful images. And there's also computer-generated images that also enhance the dancing, not detract. And the audience is tremendous. They love what they see. The hosts, by the way, are also excellent. They're great. They're in sync with each other and with Phil. And they mesh very, very well. And one other thing that's great is that the couple that loses does not go away empty-handed. They get $2,500. That's pretty good for working some new choreography into your life. What I really liked about Disney Fam Jam and why I think this is going to be a winner is that the whole idea of the show, which is to transform a family, to work outside their comfort zone, work more together on a project like this, that it's not hit over the head with you. It's natural. It comes out without having to be moralistic. The choreography is fun. And another great thing is that the contestants get to pick their own costumes. So a producer doesn't design the costumes for them. They have a costume shop where they, the families, get to pick their own costumes with some guidance from the producing staff. Everything about this program last night hits the bullseye. I think this is a marvelous episode, a marvelous series from Disney Channel, and I see a very long run. And more importantly, I see a great future and present for Phil Wright. He comes across naturally on camera. He is fun to see. His choreography is terrific. His passion is infectious. Both families really get into him. They credit him for, you know, making a difference in their lives. It's just plain super. And whether you're a parent or whether you're a child, you can watch this show together and have a great time. Now, I should point out that Disney Fam Jam is presented in the 8 o'clock to 8:30 hour. We can't tell you what the specific time is because it will go differently with each episode and each week. So all we can say is to stay tuned to Disney Channel. First of all, find out where Disney Channel is available in your area on cable and satellite. And secondly, stay tuned to find out when exactly each episode runs. By the way, there's a chance that the episode will replay later in the evening for West Coast viewers. And if you want to know more about Disney Fam Jam, go to DisneyNow.com. It'll give you all the details. But I'd rather stop saying about this and just let you discover how really great this show is. And I want to thank Phil for being on the program. His attitude is just marvelous, and he really is out to make a difference with people, and he does. So word of the wise, check out Disney Fam Jam. If you're an adult and you have kids, if you don't find it discovered by yourself, your kids will have you discovered for everybody. And watch it with your kids. It's really, really great. Disney Fam Jam, Sunday nights on the Disney Channel. Oh, one other thing. It's nice to be paired with the other Disney show, which has an interactive studio audience, Just Roll With It, which will be going into its second season later this year. Incidentally, I'd like to see both Disney Fam Jam and Just Roll With It do live episodes maybe on the same night. You may remember that we told you that Just Roll With It, which launched last summer to great acclaim, did a live episode where the home audience could also vote with the studio audience as plot points go in October. I'd like to see both shows do it on the same night, live, where, again, the home audience and studio audience can interact with each other and with the show. I think it'd be fantastic, and it can be done. So Disney Fam Jam producers, along with Phil Wright, take into consideration if you hear this. And Phil, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure, and we'd love to have you back anytime. So once again, Disney Fam Jam, Sunday nights on Disney Channel. Again, check your local list if aware the network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details online, www.disneynow. A few hours ago, thanks to a story in Variety, we learned that one of the great TV composers ever passed away this past Wednesday. His name is Robert Colbert. Robert Colbert was a New York-based composer who has been around television both daytime and primetime, for 5 decades. In the early 1960s, while considering a career in theater, independent producer David Susskind, best known for doing anthology shows, later on a great talk show host with Open End, the David Susskind Show, invited Colbert to do some music for a number of different programs, including an anthology series that was presented at the Twilight Zone called Way Out, hosted by the noted author and storyteller Roald Dahl. Wrote the musical scores, sometimes using electronic music effects, and they were really excellent. You can see the Way Out episodes on YouTube and his great early work. But Colbert was not just a composer on primetime television, he was also involved with daytime television. He did one of the first soap operas, daytime dramas, to use orchestral music, The Doctors, on NBC, sponsored by the Colgate-Palmolive Company, and was produced here in New York. And then he developed two partnerships in the 60s. One was with game show producer Bob Stewart. He created themes for The Price is Right, To Tell the Truth, Password, I Guess, and many, many more Bob Stewart shows from the 1960s into the 1980s. Every one of them a fun tune to hear. And then also, in 1966, he struck a partnership with series producer and executive producer Dan Curtis. His first project with him in daytime television was Dark Shadows. That's right, Dark Shadows, the popular vampire, horror, supernatural, occult drama that ran for five years, 1966 to 1971, on ABC and changed the entire face of what you could do on daytime television. Robert Colbert brought his musical sense to that series and came up with unforgettable theme after theme, including in 1969, Quentin's theme, which became a top 10 pop music hit. Colbert himself called Dark Shadows great spook music, and it certainly was. But it also marked the beginning of his wonderful relationship with Curtis, a relationship that lasted for decades and kept going through popular primetime made-for-TV movies as The Night Stalker, The Night Strangler, Melvin Purvis' G-Men, The Last Ride of the Dalton Gang, and a very underrated movie, When Every Day Was the 4th of July, starring Gene Jones. At the same time, he continued the partnership with Bob Stewart. And in the late 1980s, or during the 1980s, Colbert received his zenith as a TV composer. Curtis involved him in an 18-hour miniseries presentation, the longest eight miniseries at that point in television history, The Winds of War, starring Robert Mitchum and all-star cast, an adaptation of the bestseller by Herman Wouk. It was an audience winner on ABC, and it won many Emmy Awards and nominations. And then 5 years later, in 1988-89, Colbert was back with Curtis to do the musical score for the sequel miniseries, War and Remembrance. 30 hours of music. It's still the longest score for a television project at one time in the history of the medium. And Robert Colbert was nominated for his only Primetime Emmy Award for the score. Curtis thought so highly of Colbert that he actually featured him on camera in a scene from War and Remembrance where he's dressed up in a white tuxedo and leading the orchestra in a composition all his own. There's a wonderful picture of him called TV's Greatest Hits where he's in the white tuxedo ready to strike up the band with Curtis, and they're both smiling and having a whale of a time. Colbert later got an afternoon Emmy Award, daytime Emmy Award, for a CBS Afternoon Playhouse show called I Think I'm Having a Baby. And his final score for anything was 5 years, was 15 years ago in a Showtime movie called Our Fathers, again directed by Dan Curtis, and dealing with the Boston child pedophile scandal among the Catholic Church in that city. I had the opportunity to interview Dan Curtis about that film when I was at Cable World Magazine. It turned out to be one of the last interviews, maybe the last interview, Curtis ever gave to a reporter. And I ended the interview mentioning Bob Colbert and his partnership for so many years, from Dark Shadows to Winds of War and War Remembrance. He laughed, and he said that it was one of the greatest partnerships he had ever had with anybody. In fact, 5 years earlier, when he wrote notes to a collection, a record of Colbert music, he wrote in part, "It's almost as if he could read my mind. People throw around this word too lightly, but in this case, I am more than justified in using it. Bob Colbert is a true genius. He can write any kind of score and write it brilliantly." A few hours ago, we learned that Bob Colbert died on Wednesday of pneumonia in Los Angeles. He was 95 years great. He survived by 3 children, 6 grandchildren, an hour after hour of terrific music. For me, Bob Colbert stands head and shoulders with every other major TV and film composer of our time and the history of the medium, from Elmer Bernstein to John Williams to Jerry Goldsmith to Mark Snow to Mike Post. Bob Colbert is right there. He didn't get the Emmy nominations in a big way, but he won millions of fans with his music. And if you go to YouTube, you can still watch television shows, both game shows and Dark Shadow episodes, and his other work, where he just let the audience have wonderful music. No matter the idea, like Dan Curtis said, he wrote any kind of music and wrote it brilliantly. And that's a testament of a terrific composer. And if there's any solace to Bob Colbert's death, it's this. He's now reunited with Dan Curtis, and with Bob Stewart, who passed away a year or so ago. And I'm very clear, they're already at work making heaven sing a lot more than a week ago. And on that note, thank you very much for listening to our shortened program of the program All About Television. We'll be back with you on Friday. And yes, we do have at least one guest coming your way. Disney has a new series on Disney Plus coming out on Friday. It's called Shop Class. And if you ever took shop class, whether as a sixth grader or in high school or college, this show takes shop class a whole quantum leap forward. We will have an exclusive same-day interview with the executive producer, John Stevens. It's John Stevens from Disney Shop Class. He'll be with us live this Friday, our final February 2020 episode of Tomorrow Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, please go to our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, we're available 24/7 on podcast. You want to check out the interview we did with Phil Wright of Disney Fam Jam, or last Monday with Katrina Park from The Flash, and a whole lot more. Just go to iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. You go to the last two sites, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. We love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about the world of television, where it's at, and where it's going? Love to hear anytime you like. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. UBCSimonTWBT. We always like to hear what you're up to and what you think about the world of TV, and we do respond within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Block Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy So is Block Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Block Talk Radio are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Before Live was brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial attached, audiblechild.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your February. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and Friday, please make it safe and make it great. Bob Covert, rest in peace, musically. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.